And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks, presented by Castrol Edge. He is Bucky Brooks. I'm Daniel Jeremiah. And yes, we are rocking some soccer jerseys today.
The thing about it is the timing's a little off. We're about a month late.
That's okay, though.
But in commemoration of World Cup and my newfound love for soccer, we're decked out in soccer gear. I got number 9. Kane, look.
You don't even know his first name, do you?
I don't need to know his first name. I just know he won the Golden Boot.
I got Tomas.
He won the Golden Boot. Didn't he Heitham? That's right. I know it. I'm Mr. Soccer Guy. I'm a soccer aficionado.
This is Heitham, our producer who helped us along with Sully. They wanted to get us into soccer, so they got us some soccer shirts. And you know what? We're going to reward that by wearing them on the show today.
Come on.
But we are in American football season now, Buck, and we've got a lot of ground to cover today. And for those folks that are watching the show right now, remember, you can listen to the Move the Six podcast. Just got to go to NFL.com/podcasts, and you can find it there or on Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening to the show, just know you can watch the show. You'll be able to see some of the video elements. This is a video show that goes every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, live on NFL.com/MTS Live. And you can also find it at NFL.com/MTS Video or on the YouTube channel, YouTube.com/NFL. All right, we got that taken care of, Buck. Tell the folks what's coming up on the show today.
Man, I'm excited because I love talking about the renaissance of the running backs. We can talk about the top 5 running backs hitting in 2018, the best of our visit with the Chargers, and an AFC West preview. And then we're going to go with some rookie reports, what we're excited to see in week 1 of the preseason.
Yeah, we're going to jump in there with some of the top news. But before we get to that, I just wanted one question for you real quick. What did you do with all those Air Jordans you bought from all those North Carolina football players? Have you,
you know, like,
storing them up?
So,
what are you doing with all those?
So here,
you got a great discount, I heard on
here's
those.
What I've learned. And what I've learned, because my son is a sneakerhead, those are some classic shoes. And so
big
on the secondary market, those shoes are going for thousands and thousands of bucks because they're limited edition. And as my son would say, man, you put those things on GOAT or on Grill, they sell like hotcakes. And so with the young guys being sneakerheads, they also know that they can kind of flip it and parlay it. Unfortunately, it's an NCAA violation.
You think?
But when you get those kind of Jordans that are authentic, man, it's tough to resist the urge.
Well, I guess if you're a North Carolina football player, you know that professional football money is not out there for you in the future. So you better try and make
it. It might not be based on how they play. No, it's not a lot, but
sell some shoes.
Maybe, just maybe, they're trying to help themselves.
Entrepreneurial spirit. There you go. All right, let's jump into some of this latest news here. Trade here. I love a good football trade. It's going to be fun to watch this on Hard Knocks because Corey Coleman traded to the Buffalo Bills. Forget this. It was seventh round pick in 2020. That is free. You just gave away Corey Coleman here. And this is a player. Let's go back to when he was drafted, Buck. What was our running line on him?
He ran four routes. Four routes.
Hitch, slant, go post. That's it.
That's what he ran. And I'm, you know, like, look, we're a little high on him based on what he was. He had outstanding speed. He was a big-time playmaker with the ball in his hands. But we have seen the trend from Baylor receivers. Sometimes they have a tough time kind of acclimating to the National Football League because their system that they played in college was kind of such a sandlot system that didn't require a lot of discipline. In Corey Coleman's case, he just had a tough time being a consistent playmaker. Whenever you saw him get opportunities, he couldn't consistently come up with the big play. Then you hear some things about might not have been the best professional when it came to being on time, being detailed, taking care of business, doing all the things that you want to see a young professional do. And so for John Dorsey, that staff, they probably grew tired of trying to get him up to speed. When you're trying to make a culture change, anyone that's not buying in, you got to let him go. They gave him away to the Buffalo Bills. Now the Buffalo Bills have to see if they can make him into something.
Well, I understand the statement. You know, this is kind of a statement that you've made to the group. If you're, you know, not doing things the way we want, you're going to be gone. I just don't like the timing of it because a seventh-round pick in 2020 is nothing. So why would you not hold on to him during the preseason? Maybe you feature him in a game or two. We know one thing. He can go. You flip him a couple reverses. You get him a couple quick screens, and maybe he pops a couple. You see some of that explosive ability that he has. And then you get later on into training camp. Teams have injuries. There's some attrition in rosters around the league. The value is not going to get worse than a seventh-round pick in 2020. I think you had a chance to maybe get a little bit more if you hold on to him a little bit longer, but they decided, oh, we're not going to do that. So I just disagree with the timing of it. And we mentioned the four routes he ran coming out of Baylor, there was going to be an adjustment period.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I just preach patience with guys that have ability. Don't quit on talent. And I think of Nelson Agholor.
Yeah, I saw your tweet about that.
I mean, because Nelson Agholor was a Chip Kelly draft pick when Howie Roseman then got back in control there and you bring over Doug Peterson. And Aguilar's coming off a game. Remember against the Seahawks the year before, he dropped a couple balls. He was being labeled as a bust. But they were patient with him, even though he wasn't, quote, unquote, our guy. If you want to hit that back there, I don't even know if you guys have access to. There you go. Even though it wasn't my guy, not John Dorsey's guy, I thought exercising a little more patience would have made more sense.
I think the only thing that may have frustrated the Browns, did you see him changing? Did you see his work habits change? Did he become a guy that all of a sudden became punctual? Did he appear to take greater attention to detail in meetings and on the practice field? Or, like some guys do as they come into the league, did he continue to carry himself with a sense of entitlement? I'm the number one pick. I'm a play. I don't need to do some of this grind, some of this other stuff. And they actually did him a favor by letting him go now. They put him in Buffalo where he didn't get kind of caught up in the dump.
They don't have a whole lot in Buffalo either.
Right, where everyone is trying to dump receivers at the end of the preseason. They gave him a legitimate spot where he can go and play. And for the Buffalo Bills, back-to-back seasons, Kelvin Benjamin, Corey Coleman, they've been able to pick up two number one
reclamation projects
and put it wide receiver. I don't know how much that improves their wide receiver core, but we'll see. They have two number ones. I can't think of many teams that have two number one products at wide receiver.
I thought it was a home run deal for the Bills. If it doesn't work out, it costs them next to nothing. So I thought it was a smart move.
Only three. Look, they only have to guarantee. They only on the hook for like $3+ million in guaranteed money. Kind of gives them an opportunity to see what he looks like, see if he develops, if he can improve and make some plays. We'll see.
One of the things that I love around the league, the Kelly Green uniforms of the Philadelphia Eagles are pretty sweet. But you know what else is nice? Another shade of green, that cash money green, because that's what Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson, two guys we both know very well and happy for. And it's a big year for them. They finally bring a Super Bowl to the city of Philadelphia, and much deserved. They get big extensions to carry them through the 2022 season.
Hey, this is a terrific job. Look, to the victor goes the spoils. And when you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, the success that they've been able to attain over the last couple years with Doug Peterson, Howie Roseman, really ushering in a culture change in Philly. Yeah, you knew there was going to be some money to sweeten the pot based on what they were able to do. The thing that we can talk about now, man, Philly is a destination spot for people. People understand that they have a good time. They win a lot of games. They find a way to get their players in. And I think as a player, you want to be at a place that culturally feels right. You can be yourself. At the same time, you work hard and win. Right now, the Philadelphia Eagles check off all the boxes.
And they're set up to win because they've got youth at the most important position, and that's the one taking snaps from center. So I think you're going to see this team continue to win and win at a high level there in Philadelphia. Good on them for extending Howie Roseman and Doug Peterson. Next on the list, we're coming off a Hall of Fame game, Buck. We haven't been together, haven't had a chance to discuss this one. Lamar Jackson's performance there. Look, the numbers, 4 of 10, 33 yards, touchdown pick. 25 rushing yards in that game against the Bears. But I went back and watched it, and 4-10 doesn't sound good, but when you watch it, especially the interception, I didn't even put it on him. Receiver just stuck in his brace. But it didn't work back to the quarterback.
That's, and he has to come back down his stem. He didn't do it.
Drift. He just drifts out. I think
the thing about this, what is interesting, I think you have a lot of guys that are kind of late to the party on Lamar Jackson, like guys that may have flash scouted him during the process, and then they're making these big assumptions or assertions off of this one appearance. The Lamar Jackson that I saw play in that game was the same one that I scouted. He doesn't throw the ball well outside the numbers. Spectacular athlete, big arm talent. You put him in a rhythm system that allows him to work inside the numbers, he's going to dazzle. But if you ask him to push the ball outside the numbers, his completion percentage drops dramatically when he's forced to do that. From a running around ability, look, he's special. He has some things. I think he's exactly what the Baltimore Ravens saw. They got what they bargained for. Now it's about creating an offense that allows him to shine.
Yeah, to me, I agree with everything you said. And we watched him, you know, from the tape to the pro day even, struggling to drive the ball outside the numbers. That's still a work in progress. I think he does have some room to grow there. And I think he will get better as he continues to widen out his base and become a little more firm with his footwork. But one of the other things, when I'm watching this game and I'm watching him, I thought – maybe a little bit more so than at Louisville, and he didn't play behind a great offensive line there, but I thought instinctually he was trying to get out. And I think he's going to develop a little more comfort of hanging, sliding, shuffling, climbing, working within the framework of the pocket. I think that's what – if I'm with the Baltimore Ravens, that's something I'm looking to see, that progress from week one. Remember, they got 5 preseason games, so from preseason week one to preseason week 5, hopefully you'll see some progress there.
Yeah, I think we will see some progress. I think the reports of it being like an offer performance, I don't think that's accurate.
I think
he showed enough in his first start. Man, he was able to take the snap and make some plays and make some positive plays. That's fine. Led the team down for a drive, had a touchdown. I'm not saying it's an A-plus performance, but look, it certainly wasn't as bad as it was portrayed on the outside.
All right, before we get to our rookie report here, one more little nugget here. Let's go north of the border. Manziel, well, like another Heisman Trophy winning quarterback here. Johnny Manziel, his debut. Look, it was a tough ask, right? You get traded within a week, and you throw you right out into the lineup. A couple of his teammates along that offensive line also thrown right in the mix, going up against your former team. Ironically, a very patriotic uniform if he was playing in America, but these are Canadian uniforms, very bright, very colorful. Look, I don't know what the expectation was. What were your expectations of what you could see from Johnny?
I didn't have many expectations. This is a completely different game than American football, and Johnny hasn't played real football in a long time. Look, he had a couple games in the spring league, but like anything, you have – like football is a repetition sport. You got to get the reps to get better at it. Man, you can't take 2 years off and come back and think that you're going to dazzle. I think he will continue to get better week after week after week. It's just a matter of time of him kind of finding his rhythm in his groove.
And this sounds great. First of all, great form tackle. I know this sounds look, he threw four picks. He's trying to pull some good out of a Canadian Football League game. But his arm looked live, which was a good thing. I thought he moved around good. I thought he has legs about him. It's just no rhythm, and the decision-making was awful. So those are things you'll see if he can improve. I have been in the camp saying, hey, if you've got talent enough to be drafted in the first round, you'll always be given more opportunities.
Yep.
And if he can show a pattern, you know, put some length between him and his issues off the field. Show a pattern of good behavior off the field and a commitment there. And then he starts to play better up in Canada. He'll get another shot.
Oh, he will get another shot. He has to put some work in Canada, show people he can be consistent, take care of business off the field, then on the field, just make slow and steady incremental gains. If he does that, he's going to have an opportunity to get back to the National Football League.
I just feel so great in this soccer uniform. I don't know. I feel like I'm fitter. I feel more in shape.
You need to put a little GPS here. Follow you around?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe we have to do that there. You like the fact that I leave the collared shirt underneath?
I mean, I like that. That's old school.
It's kind of business. It's like business fun over here. all right, let's get to our rookie report. It's time now for our rookie reports. Presented by Castrol Edge, and we're talking rookies to watch here preseason week one. And that Bears, I guess we consider that week zero, I guess, with the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, that was like a little endowment.
There's a little taste. All right, let's jump in here. Give me some players. Why don't you handle the offense? I'll handle the defense. Give me three offensive players to watch.
We're going to start right away with the number one overall pick, Baker Mayfield. Everyone wants to see what Baker Mayfield is going to look like. And the thing that I'm looking for from a quarterback, command and control. Does he have command of the huddle? Does he have command of the offense? Does he play under control? Does it feel like the game is too fast for him? If he can just be calm, show a little poise, lead his team, and have a couple successful drives, I think that would be an A-plus performance for a young guy making his first start. I don't expect him to light it up, but I do expect him to be able to just ease into the rhythm of the game and then kind of show the talent that some – believe that made him the number one overall pick.
I'm anxious to see, can he throw with anticipation? Does he let the ball go in rhythm, not have to see it? Because in the Big 12 and in that offense, it was so prolific at Oklahoma, guys get so dang wide open. You saw glimpses of him making some tight window throws, but I want to see NFL football. Can you get the ball out, fit balls in small spaces, and do it with anticipation? So that's what I'll be looking for.
Yeah, it's anticipation and time. And a lot of what we liked about him, his ability to make accurate throws.
Yep.
We always talked about he was the most accurate thrower in this draft. And so I want to see how does that translate when the game speeds up, the players are faster, and the winners are tighter. Can he continue to still do those things?
All right, give me another offensive player.
Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is – look, he was a little late reporting to camp, got the deal done, but they still say that he's in the mix to start for the number one job for the Jets. So I want to see what does he look like? How does he look when he gets his opportunity to go on the field? He'll probably go out there with the twos, should be able to dominate those guys. If he plays well there, I think he'll move up the chart in terms of playing time against the good versus good guys. We'll see. He still has a chance to win this job. Let's just see if he can take a big step forward with the first week.
Everything I've heard just continues to progress, makes some big-time throws every practice, and it's been outstanding on the move. Now, the other thing is you've got Teddy Bridgewater and Josh McCown have both had good camps, but I think if it's even close at all, I would think you're going to see 14 trot out there week one. So that process starts here in the first preseason game. We'll see if he lights it up. All right, give me one more guy here, Buck.
Ronald Jones. We can talk about Ronald Jones because the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need a difference maker at running back. They haven't had that for the last couple of years. They need a guy that can not only make plays as a runner but catch the ball out the backfield. I believe Ronald Jones can do that. I want to see in this first game against the Miami Dolphins, give me a flash. Give me something to get excited about because coaches are looking for how they can build offense around the talents of certain players. let's see what Rojo does and see if we can find something to do specifically to help him elevate the program.
How you like the double deuce, the number there? I like 22 is a good looking number.
I mean, 22 was my number in high school. 22 was my favorite number.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Why'd you wear 22?
My dad's number, and it's my birthday. So my birthday is 1/22/71. Send all gifts in January. You can send them to the podcast. I will take them and accept them. But 22, it was easy. Clean number.
It is a clean number, the double deuce.
Yeah.
I like it. All right, let me go over to the defensive side of the ball here and give you a couple guys. Let's start Bradley Chubb. I mean, that's an easy one, right, with the Denver Broncos. Going to see what he does. I don't imagine you're going to see a whole lot of Von Miller in the preseason, but we will get a chance to see Bradley Chubb, who's a dominating edge rusher, can win with power. We've seen that plenty at NC State. He's outstanding with his hands, and I'm anxious to see if he's picked up a couple tricks there after having been around Von Miller for this amount of time. We see him bend and wrap a little bit more coming off the edge. I cannot wait to see him in preseason action.
High hopes, big expectations for Bradley Chubb. When Von Miller talks about this guy being a combination of Khalil Mack and himself, man, you have to kind of perk up, stand at attention, and see what he has. What I liked about him at NC State, he played hard. He had a toolbox full of tools. He could come at you in a variety of different ways, and he was relentless when it came to his pursuit of the quarterback. Plus, he got a little nasty. I think he gives that Broncos defense something that they lacked, and the opportunity to have three pass rushers.
Shane Ray,
Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. Man, you like what they are able to do with those three guys on the field.
Well, you mentioned Baker Mayfield on offense. Let's go to their next pick in the draft, Denzel Ward on defense, the corner who's already emerged as a starter here for the Cleveland Browns. Going to see him in action against the New York Giants. Now, they have a pretty good receiving core, Buck. I don't know how much we're going to see of those guys, but he'll get a chance to get tested early on. He's a fantastic cover corner. He's so fluid, so smooth. A lot of people were shocked by that pick because Chubb was still there, and I would have had Chubb over Denzel Ward, but for me it was very close, and I don't think that was a bad pick, and I think we'll see why here week one in the preseason when we get a chance to see Denzel Ward in action.
Yeah, I mean, the Cleveland Browns opted for the cover corner over the pass rusher. With Denzel Ward, they believe he's a natural number one corner. They believe he's going to be able to travel and lock down and take away top wide receivers all over the place. Loved him at Ohio State. I, in fact, thought he was a better player than Marshawn Lattimore. And you're talking about the defensive rookie of the year last season in the National Football League. Denzel Ward should come out. I want to see how does he hold up. He's not going to get a chance to go against Odell, but how does he hold up against the receivers that he sees from the Giants? That'll go a long way in letting us know if he's going to be able to handle some of the responsibilities that you typically give to a shutdown corner.
All right, and this and last one here, a little bit under the radar, and not just because last name reminds me of a classic
Keith Sweat.
R&B.
Yeah.
Not Keith Sweat. We're going Josh Sweat here with the Philadelphia Eagles, who by all accounts had a great training camp for the Eagles. Now, remember, they're loaded in that defensive line. We know they've got pass rushers for days, but Brandon Graham's coming off of an injury. You've got Timmy Jernigan's coming off an injury inside. So having another body you can throw in there and his ability as an edge rusher. Big knock on him had nothing to do with his ability. It was his durability. There was a lot of concern there with his knee. But by all accounts, he's been good. He's been good health-wise here for the Philadelphia Eagles. So we see like a Yannick Ngakoue-type player emerge every year outside the first round. Hey, maybe this year it's Keith Sweat's cousin, even though they're not cousins, Josh Sweat.
Now, the thing about Josh Sweat was a five-star recruit coming out of high school. He was the cast meow, flashed some of that ability at Florida State before the injury, the knees, and all those things became major concerns. If he is able to stay healthy and available, he absolutely could be one of those guys that you talk about, Yannick Ngakoue, someone that comes out of nowhere to become a perennial sack leader. He has big-time ability. It's just a matter of keeping him on the field and being there. And for the Philadelphia Eagles, the way they're going to use him, they're just going to throw him in a rotation.
Something to be said for those guys that were those five-star high school players that flashed in college, but because of injury or other scenarios, it didn't happen for him. We see him get to the NFL. Stephon Diggs is one that comes right to mind.
Stephon Diggs is a big thing. Stephon Diggs was the second-rated receiver when he came out. He was ranked ahead of guys like Amari Cooper and others, and we've seen him play to that talent.
He's outplayed Amari Cooper.
You know, so now you look at a guy like a Josh Sweat who was highly regarded. Maybe, just maybe, Philadelphia could put him in a situation where his talent comes out.
Yeah, so we'll see there. That was our rookie report presented by Castrol Edge. We'll be doing that each and every week as we go through the preseason here, Buck. Let's get some more storylines to watch here preseason. Let's just go ping pong back and forth here and go through a couple of them. What do you got?
I want to see what Andrew Luck looks like. This has been a long time coming. Everybody is all in on Andrew Luck. Well, what I want to do is I want to see how he fits physically. Does his game look any different? Does his ball look different? Does he have the arm strength to make all the throws? Are there limitations to what he's going to be able to do as a passer? Because if there are limitations, then it's on Frank Reich and the crew to figure out a way to kind of work around those to allow him to thrive. This is a unique situation, seeing an elite quarterback talent having to come back from a severe injury that could affect his throwing motion. Let's just see if he's able to come back and show a glimpse of some of that talent that made us excited a few years ago.
Over-under passes for him week one in the preseason here. You give him
I think I'll give him 10.
You're going to let him throw it 10 times?
Oh, yeah. We got to
test that thing out a little bit. I'm going to take four. Holes. I'll go four
passes. Four passes?
Two series, four passes. Man, my guess.
Why are we even suiting up for that?
That's what we're going to ease into it. It's week one. I'm going to go with this Tennessee Titans offense under Matt LaFleur, see what it looks like with Marcus Mariota. I don't anticipate we're going to see a lot of Mariota in this game, but I want to see what the offense looks like. Are we going to see some similarities, what we saw with the Rams, where LaFleur came from, saw LaFleur with the Atlanta Falcons? These are high-flying, explosive offenses, not what we've come to see from the Tennessee Titans over the last few years. So are they going to open things up a little bit? In other words, what I'm looking forward to see.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Matt LaFleur does with this offense. Last year, Marcus Mariota was the most efficient quarterback throwing off play action. What kind of things can Matt LaFleur build into the game plan to allow him to play to his strengths? Remember, the last two places where LaFleur worked, L.A. with Jared Goff, Atlanta with Kyle Shanahan and Matt Ryan, they did a great job of using play action to set those guys up. I'm sure he has some sexy play action passes for him to set him up.
What movie is it, by the way, behind the glass? You boys can help me out here. LaFleur, I want to say, is that Dodgeball? Peter LaFleur. Nice. Okay. That was very nice. Very nice. Peter LaFleur, and that was Vince Vaughn's character, right? Okay, good. Just wanted to get that. Wanted to get that in my head here. All right, we're good. Keep moving here, Buck. What else you got?
Here we go. I'm excited to see Derek Carr and John Gruden make their official debut together. John Gruden had talked about taking this offense back to 1998. Well, I was there in 1998. I remember what it looked like when he had Jeff George playing. Then he got Rich Gannon. Quick rhythm offense, really built around the running game. High percentage passes for the quarterback. Quarterback has to make decisions pre and post. Let's see if Derek Carr is mature enough to handle that responsibility. Let's also see if John Gruden can kind of juice up this running game. You have Marshawn Lynch there. You have Doug Martin, who could play a role there. Big offensive line. How do the Raiders put it all together offensively for John Gruden?
Speaking of 1998, that was the five-man sled right there.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see the five-man sled very often.
Not often. Anymore. Not often.
Love that. All right. To me, another storyline to keep an eye on. Let's keep with the quarterback here, Russell Wilson. Can we get him some help with Seattle? Who's going to emerge here? Is it going to be Rashad Penny, the rookie from San Diego State? Is he going to get in the mix? I don't know if he's even going to win that job there. But Tyler Lockett's going to have to step up, be a consistent playmaker. What's Brandon Marshall's role? Can they get him involved here with this team? So just giving him some help. Offensive line has forever been a concern there. It sounds like Jermaine Ifedi's in the doghouse. There's nothing new there. But just all kinds of questions around Russell Wilson. We've talked about this team being a sneaky bad team, Buck. What do they look like here in the preseason?
Yeah, I mean, we want to see Brian Schottenheimer takes over. Mike Solari comes over to help with the offensive line. I want to see what kind of offense Brian Schottenheimer puts together for Russell Wilson. Brian Schottenheimer has never been known or viewed as one of the most creative play calls or play designers. But you have a unique weapon in Russell Wilson, a guy that can throw it, can run it, can make plays off the cuff. What does he do to maximize his ability as a dual threat on the perimeter? That will be the thing that I'm looking for in week one.
I mean, the known commodity we have there, we know Doug Baldwin, Angry Doug Baldwin, as we like to call him, is phenomenal. He's great, but he's nicked up right now. So you're going to see some of these other weapons have to emerge to help out Russell Wilson. That's a storyline I'll be keeping an eye on. All right, Buck, this is a beefy show, man. We're right in the middle here. We got a lot more to get to. Let's get to the running backs. You ready to do a little running back preview?
I love lists. Nothing makes me happier than to do a list. I love doing top five.
Rank it and bank it. Go for it. Let's go top five running backs. Go five to one. You can roll.
Here we go. Top five running backs heading into 2018. At number five, man, you got to put the NFL rushing leader, Kareem Hunt. Kareem Hunt is in the mix because he's unique in terms of his ability to run with power, flash a little speed and burst, but also make plays in the passing game. Last season, we saw him do it in a major way, really helped Alex Smith continue to make big plays. I think he has an opportunity to be a great one. At four, Ezekiel Elliott for the Dallas Cowboys, 2016 rushing champ. Missed six games last year due to suspension. He's in better shape this year. I think he comes back, makes a run at the rushing title. More importantly, I think he puts that Cowboys offense on the back as they make a run in the NFC East. At three, DJ 2K. Not Daniel Jeremiah 2K. David Johnson 2000, meaning 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving. Was close to getting it done a couple seasons ago. This year, I think he gets it done. He is the bell cow in an offense that needs him to be the workhorse. At two, Todd Gurley. Ooh, you talk about big bank Hank Todd Gurley. New contract because he is such a dynamic weapon. This is a guy that was a scrimmage yards leader a year ago, can run, can get outside, catch the ball out the backfield. I think he's terrific. And at number one, Le'Veon Bell. He is Mr. Everything. NFL history leader in scrimmage yards per game ahead of Jim Brown, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders. I think this guy's going to be a Hall of Famer. He is the ultimate playmaker at the position.
First of all, great list. I like what you did there. If my nickname was DJ2K, it's because I had 2,000 calories for breakfast. that would be the only reason I would carry that nickname. But I'm assigned here with trying to find the snub. And, Bucket,
there's no snubs.
There's a couple.
It's the first time
there's
that you can have no snubs.
There's legitimately two snubs.
Oh, I can't even see where we can fit anybody else in.
But this is a challenge because I know what you're going to ask me as soon as I tell you who the snubs are. You're going to ask me who I have to pull off the list. And
yeah.
That's where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah.
All right, Kareem Hunt. I love Kareem Hunt. But if you told me right now, and I believe you agree with me, we have a chance to have a draft right now for your team. You're the general manager, Bucky Brooks.
Yeah.
And you told me I can have – Devontae Freeman or Kareem Hunt. I'm going to take Devontae Freeman. Devontae Freeman is more dynamic version of Kareem Hunt. We've seen Devontae Freeman do this for the Atlanta Falcons. I would plug him in. I think he's a snub, Buck. I do think. I would take him over Kareem Hunt, even though I know he led the league in rushing. I get that. But if I got to choose between the two, I'm taking Devontae Freeman in a wild card. Well, they're not even prepared for this behind the glass. But I don't want Sully to let the air out of my tires. So I'll say Alvin Kamara would be another one I would consider.
I thought about that.
I would consider there.
They got consideration. But here's the thing. Devontae Freeman shares a little time with Tevin Coleman. Alvin Kamara, I like him as a role player, not necessarily my everyday thing. But I just don't know where I fit those guys in. I'm going to remove Kareem Hunt, the reigning NFL rushing champion. For Devontae Freeman.
I mean, Jordan Howard finished second the year before, and don't have him.
He doesn't have any crowns, though.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a crown. If he had a crown.
Saying, be honest.
Look, when you get a crown, when you get a crown, it's a little different.
I love Kareem Hunt.
I know you're not a guy that goes.
I love Kareem
I know you
Hunt.
Don't go out much, but it's
well,
almost like being
Devontae
at the bar.
Freeman. I don't go at all.
And it's a bachelor party. It's a bachelorette party, and you get a chance to see him with the tiara. Like, they're the star of the night.
By the way, on that front, as we move through here, Yeah, you know I don't drink, right? So when people want to do something and people want to give you a thank you present, they'll give you a bottle of wine, right? The good news for anybody that's getting me any presents, if you're going to buy me a bottle of wine, I don't know the difference between what an expensive wine is.
Oh, so you want
some
of that?
So you might as well just give me
Joe's.
The cheapest thing and you could sell me that this is like the nicest present of all time. I won't. Yes, that's the good stuff, right?
You know
that's
what?
The real good stuff.
You know what? I think we can get them some of that white Zinfandel in a box. Get some of that wine.
Is that an instrument or a wine? I don't even know what a Zinfandel is.
I'm not really a wine drinker, but I think we can get you that. Or we can go back to college, get you a little Boone's Farm. They tell me that Boone's Farm is vintage. It's vintage.
Oh, that's great. Apparently. I don't touch it, but I've heard it's fantastic. All right, let's get to my top three running backs, the rookie version here to watch in the upcoming season. Let's start at number three, and I'm going to go a guy you talked about a little earlier in the show, Ronald Jones here for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, I think there's a chance that Peyton Barber ends up being the starter early on in the season, but Ronald Jones could eclipse him before we get too deep into the season. And Ronald Jones, we know, is going to be a home run hitter. He's a slashing runner. He's got knock the doors off speed. Needs to be a little bit more consistent catching the ball, blocking the ball. That's going to be the challenge for him. So he would be number three on my list of running backs. When I get to number two, not my guy, your guy. I don't know if we have a your guy drop. I think we just have a my guy drop.
He is my guy.
Yeah, this is your guy, Buck, and this is Royce Freeman.
I'm glad you're coming around to put him in number two. I'm glad you're coming around.
I like Royce Freeman. I liked him coming out, but it's opportunity, right? I mean, there's better runners than Royce Freeman, in my opinion, that I haven't mentioned. But he's going to get the opportunity here with the Denver Broncos. He's
the only thing that hurts me with Royce is that number. I've never seen a great running back wear number 37.
Larry Centers, fullback.
I just don't know what we do
Buck
with 37.
Allen.
I don't know what – I don't even know how you signed that on your card. Like,
37.
It just looks odd.
I gotta
when you get a bad number, it's hard to play with a bad number.
Hit us up on Twitter and let us know if there's any great running
What would be a bad quarterback number? What's a bad quarterback number? 19?
A bad quarterback number? Well, I mean, because it's tough. 19, Johnny Unitas wore 19, one of the all-time greats.
Not many
pretty much everybody.
Right?
You can hit it pretty much any number.
20? 20?
20 as a quarterback? Flutie wore 22, right?
Like Bernie Kosar? Didn't Bernie Kosar wear 20 at Miami?
Yeah, that's unusual. I think Shea Patterson, what did he rate?
Shea Patterson wears a 20 number. I don't know if he still wears it at Michigan.
Is it 21 or 20?
20, 20.
The Indiana quarterback wore 21. Anyways, we're so sidetracked here. Can I get my top running back
here? You got.
All right, number one, no surprise.
Way to go out on a limb.
Sometimes things are obvious for a reason. Saquon Barkley will be the most impactful rookie running back. Now, we're not going to see much of him in the preseason, but we are going to see him during the regular season. I think you're going to see a big role for him in this offense. Obviously, everybody talks about the physique and the physical tools. I cannot wait to see how they use him. Are they going to split him out, get him in the slot, split him out wide, create some mismatches? To me, that's what I cannot wait to see, how they deploy Saquon Barkley.
Oh, we certainly shouldn't see that in the preseason. Because
no, we're not going to see it in the preseason.
If I'm the New York Giants, he's in bubble wrap. And I know my veterans are mad because everyone wants to see the young guy play. But, oh, no, he may line up the first snap, but we'll run a fullback dive and get him right off the field.
That's it.
Yeah, fullback can run it. He's not running. I don't want him to touch the ball in the preseason.
All right, anyways, we got the running back position previewed there. You got the vets, I got the rookies.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that group. I know everybody's getting fired up for their fantasy football season, so some big decisions for you guys to make out there. All right, we're trying to preview each division as we go through the preseason to get us ready for the regular season. The first one up is the AFC West preview. We had a chance to go out to the Los Angeles Chargers practice, and from that live location, not only talk about the Chargers, but talk about the entire AFC West. Here's our preview from our Move the Sticks practice visit with the Chargers. All right, Buck, we're out here at Chargers camp, and if you're looking at this division as a whole, the AFC West might be one of the more interesting divisions in the National Football League this year. A lot of turnover, a lot of changes around the division.
Well, I think it's very interesting because you have to look at quarterbacks. Whenever we talk about winning games, it's all about the quarterbacks. And so, look, the Chargers are set up because they have Phillip Rivers. But really, the rest of the division, I mean, you have Derek Carr in place, but the rest of the division is in turmoil or transition. You have Case Keenum going to the Denver Broncos. He does rejoin his old coach who's an administrator, Gary Kubiak, and you wonder what kind of offense they can put together for him. And then in Kansas City, everyone is excited about Pat Mahomes, but what will he look like when he finally gets his opportunity to play? So because of that, I believe the division is wide open, but you always have to favor the experienced quarterback in those situations.
Yeah, you mentioned the quarterback turnover. Then you get to the Raiders. Yeah, they have Derek Carr back, but you got new coach here in John Gruden.
Things who hasn't been
– things are a little different.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think the thing about the Raiders, when you look at the quarterback position in Derek Carr, how does John Gruden relate? How does he help Derek Carr elevate his game? When we look at all of the young quarterbacks that have had success, they've had creative play callers that have been able to sprinkle in some of the college game to help them. John Gruden isn't a fan of RPOs, says he wants to take the game back to 98. So what does he have in his bag of tricks to help Derek Carr become a successful player?
One name on the subject of the Raiders I keep an eye on here, Maurice Hurst. Just remember that one. I mean, coming through the draft process, we talked about Maurice Hurst as a first-round pick, had some medical information that came out. A lot of teams took him off the board, slid down. The Raiders, I believe it was a fifth round when they ended up taking him. I think he's got a chance to start day one and be an impact player. Now, he's not Aaron Donald, but he's that similar type of frame and can be used in a similar type of role.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's a guy, look, they got a first-round value when they were able to pick him. Look, if he's healthy and right, we know he's a high-energy player, great motor player, guy that does a great job of playing on the other side of the line of scrimmage and using his hands. They haven't been able to really win at the line of scrimmage for a while. He gives them another player that should be able to do it, particularly if Khalil Mack comes back and plays the entire season.
Yeah, other name I keep an eye on rookie-wise, Arden Key. You know, if you get the young version of Arden Key, we saw at LSU, was a dominant player. It sounds like the reports out of Oakland have been pretty positive about the way he's been playing early on. If they get that version of Arden Key, you'll see another a young player have a big-time role.
Yeah, I mean, look, Arden Key, Mo Hurst, those two young guys can add some energy. Then they get Mario Edwards Jr. back, Khalil Mack back, get Bruce Irvin playing at a high level. That would be the Raiders defense that people have been expecting. The last couple of years, they haven't been a middle-of-the-pack defense. They've been at the bottom third. They need to play better defense until that offense can kind of get on track.
Go back up to Denver here. Denver, talk about the change at quarterback. We also have some changes on the defensive side of the ball, namely Keep Tlaib being out of there. Had a lot of depth there. You've got Roby in place. You've got Chris Harris. It's a good group, but I do think that's a piece they're going to miss this fall.
Oh, they absolutely would miss Keep Tlaib. Like his veteran leadership, his experience, his playmaking ability. We can say that he was declining a little bit as a player because some of the athleticism and speed is dwindling. But big-time player, does a great job of reading and jumping routes. And in that system, he was very, very comfortable. You lose him, you put Bradley Roby higher up the food chain. We'll see if Bradley Roby can deliver those same results.
I think that team's going to go as far as that offensive line will take him. I know a lot of people will point at Case Keenum. Can he duplicate what he did in Minnesota? I think Case Keenum's going to be fine. I do, though, look at this offensive line where they've invested resources, Buck, high draft picks and some free agent dollars. They need that offensive line to play at a high level.
They need the offensive line to play at a high level because they need to be able to run the ball. Case Keenum has been an effective quarterback. He was an effective quarterback in Minnesota. But part of the reason he was effective because they didn't put everything on him. I believe you make a mistake if you put too much on him, expect him to kind of drive the bus. They need the running game to be a major factor in their game plan. And then they need Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders to do their job in the passing game.
And let's go down to Kansas City here. Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is in. Alex Smith is out. We talked about it on a previous podcast. They traded efficiency for explosiveness. And I think with this new regime now, with a new era here with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, you're going to see some wow, but you're going to see some what as well, Buck.
Yeah, the wow plays are going to dazzle you. Everyone is fascinated by what he could be. And look, he had a really good game when he had an opportunity to play against the Denver Broncos last year, week 17. You saw the things that kind of tease you and excite you. Big arm, talented athlete, can make plays on the move, but he's going to be a questionable decision maker at times. Can he minimize those high risk, high reward plays and just kind of manage the game in a way that Alex Smith did while also adding that explosive element? If he can do that, the Kansas City Chiefs could be a team that we talk about being a Super Bowl contender because that offense is lights out.
Yeah, offense, so many different weapons on that offense. I feel like we talk so much about Tyreek Hill and his explosiveness, Travis Kelce, one of the top two tight ends in the National Football League. But it seems weird coming off a rookie season that Kareem Hunt had. He's rarely mentioned here in the offseason when we talk about all the weapons with this Chiefs offense.
Because, you know, everyone, the passing game is the driving force for most of these teams. And so everyone gets excited about the pass catchers. But we talked about it. The playmakers matter. He is a big-time playmaker, led the league in rushing, also caught the ball well out the backfield. He gives that offense an element of balance, allows them really to set up the play-action shots. And then, you know, everyone kind of wants to take shots at Sammy Watkins for getting a $16 million deal. But when he came out, he was a top receiver on most boards. He's an explosive playmaker. And when he's been healthy and available, he has made plays. I'm excited to see what this offense can look like with Pat Mahomes as a trigger man.
Yeah, no Marcus Peters on the defensive side of the ball. I think they'll feel that loss. Lost some veteran leadership at the linebacker position as well. Well, I think this Chiefs team, probably the, I would say the biggest enigma of this group, could be a hero or zero. I wouldn't say zero, but I could see them going anywhere from 8 wins to 12 or 13 wins when you really look at them.
It really depends on how they elect to play defense. In today's game, we've seen in preseason the helmet rule, the flags that are going. You're almost better served to concede yards from 20 to 20 and be really good in the
buckle
red zone.
Down, yeah.
This is what the New England Patriots have done for years. They give up yards ranking the 20s in terms of total yards allowed, but then in the red zone, they don't give up points and they find a way to make turnovers. If you can play defense like that, when an offense that Kansas City appears to have on paper, that could be the recipe for them to have long-term success.
No doubt. Now let's talk about the team we're here to see today, the Los Angeles Chargers. And you mentioned it earlier, Buck, the quarterback position, the veteran leadership you have there with Phillip Rivers, really a stabilizing force. And last year, this team played as well as anybody coming down the stretch.
Played as well as anybody coming down the stretch. I think what I found interesting, talking to a guy who's a buddy of the head coach, Anthony Lynn, they go back and forth. He used to coach at Anthony Lynn. And one of the things he said, if you notice the Chargers about midway through the season, they went from being a team that tried to establish the run early in games to, hey, let's open it up early, get to the running game late. And when you have a veteran quarterback like Phillip Rivers, who knows what he's doing with the football, you get those points early, force teams to kind of get away from the box. Then you can give the ball to Melvin Gordon in the third and fourth quarters when you really need to salt the game away.
Yeah, let's make Melvin Gordon the closer, not the starter, is kind of what we're getting
to here. And that is a nice recipe. And when you really look at the way the league has been trending, teams that throw the ball on first down are more successful than those that are trying to grind it out. Flip the script. Come out throwing and attacking early. Put points up on the board. Then salted away with a nice running game.
And the depth they have at the receiver position and the injury to Hunter Henry at the tight end position, I think you're still going to see a lot of 3 and 4 wide receiver sets out here with this group. The name that people kind of forget about within this offense, because you got Mike Williams coming back.
Yep.
I think he's going to be solid this year. Year number two, healthy, comfortable. You know about Tyrell Williams with some big plays. Obviously, Keenan Allen is the headliner of that group. But Travis Benjamin, to me, just watching this team practice a little bit, his ability to get him in matchups. Coach Wisenhunt does a great job of getting him in ideal matchups. Kind of the forgotten guy in that offense.
He is a forgotten guy. As you talked about it, I think this team could be a 10-personnel team. One back, 4 wide receivers. You got 3 big bodies, Mike Williams, Tyrell Williams, Keenan Allen, and then you got Travis Benjamin, the speed guy. Depending on how they split their sets and align people up, they really can do a tough job of creating matchups for the defense. kind of like what the Chargers have on offense. They miss Hunter Henry. He would have been a big factor for them. But, man, being able to spread it out and kind of go a spread-and-shred attack could be dangerous for opponents trying to match up with them.
And defensively, you look at, putting Derwin James into this defense with a Joey Bosa and a Melvin Ingram coming off the edge. Then you'd get Uchenna Nwosu from USC, who can be kind of a hybrid. You can move him around. Kaiser White from West Virginia was a safety. They've converted to a Will linebacker who's got a lot of buzz here early in camp. I think it's one of the faster defenses in the National Football League, one of the more dynamic defenses in the
Dynamic
NFL.
Defense because they're kind of built the right way. In today's game, you got to be able to rush the passer. They have two edge rushers in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram that can get home. They can disrupt the flow of the offense. And then on the outside, they can cover. So if you can rush the quarterback and you can cover, you can play top-notch defense in this league. That's the way the league is trending.
It is shaping up to be one of the more fascinating divisions in the NFL. Looking forward to watching the Chargers out here practice today. And really looking forward to some fun conversations. We're going to throw that right now to some of the conversations we've had with Chargers personnel front office, as well as some of the top players on the team. All right, joined by Los Angeles Chargers head coach Anthony Lynn. Coach, how's camp going so far?
So far, so good. You know, today we had a nice situational day. Took a little off the players because of the blue-white scrimmage tomorrow. But I thought we put them in some situations today to see how they would respond and got a lot of good teaching tape.
I'm watching Philip Rivers out here today, and I'm sitting here trying to figure out how he's doing what he's doing at this age because he let a couple go down the field today. He's really stretching the field. His arm looks as live now as it did his rookie year, Coach.
Yeah, when you throw in the Travis Benjamin like that, you can let a few go because he'll go get it. But, no, Phil, he's had a good camp, you know, and his arms look just fine. At some point, we'll start tailing back his reps. But right now, he looks pretty good.
And you look at this, the receiver position specifically on this team, Coach. I think it's as stacked as any in the National Football League. Mike Williams, from even the first training camp practice out here to today, it seems like he's really progressing quickly.
Well, I would disagree with you right there, but because I got to see it to believe it. But yeah. I like the guys that we have. You know, Keenan Allen, he's a pro's pro, and he's stepping it up in every way, leadership-wise, the whole nine. Mike Williams had his best practice of the day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, we got to keep Mike on the field, get him in games, and I know what he'll bring to the table. Tyrell Williams, mm-hmm. You know, he's been a role guy for us, but he's going to have to step in, and right now he's our starter, mm-hmm. and he's improved. I've been very impressed with his development because I've seen him work on it throughout the offseason. And then you have Artavius Scott, another young guy coming out of Clemson. He's doing well and helping us on special teams. So, well, I like the depth that we have at the receiver position. But as far as production, you know, we have a couple in that category.
Wow, those things we'll be looking for here with the Chargers as we crank up the preseason. Thank you for your time, Coach.
Thank you for having me.
All right, here with Derek Watt, fullback for the Los Angeles Chargers. Derek, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me out.
I appreciate it. I was telling you before we started here, coming out the first day of training camp, I think the whole focus of the offseason was how to get you more involved in the passing game. So you caught like four balls out here.
Yeah, you know, we did a little bit, you know, adding some wrinkles into the offense throughout OTAs and mini camp. And we brought a few of them out here for the first couple of days of camp. And, we'll see. Hopefully a few of them at least made it past the little trial period and make it into the season. But, we'll find out.
Thanks for taking some time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks
Appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
All right, joined by one of the top running backs in National Football League, Melvin Gordon. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Real good.
Look at this offense as a whole. Where are you guys at right now? And just how good can this group be?
We getting better. You know, we getting better. We not where we need to be, but we making strides, and that's the good part. We better than we are day one when we came out here. So, you know, we working to where we need to be. Obviously, we still need some work. It's early in camp. What is it, day five, day six, or whatever. But we gonna get there. A lot of time.
How much a smile? If we're gonna do the biggest smile in the world is a 10, and a frown is a 1. When you saw the Todd Gurley contract come through. Where did that put your smile at?
11.
11?
Yeah, 11.
You celebrated that one.
Yeah, it was good, though. It's just good to see backs, you know, just get the respect, you know, that we deserve, honestly. You know, we do so much. We block, we have to catch, and obviously we have to run. So we make a lot of things go. So, you know, I'm glad to see, you know, somebody starting off the trend in the right way.
All right, I love it. Hey, well, best of luck this year, man. I look forward to following this team, and it should be a fun ride.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Here with Chargers general manager Tom Telesco. Tom, how you doing, man?
Doing great.
We go back to the first day here. We have an injury with Jason Verrett. I know that's just you feel terrible for him. But how did the team respond to that? I mean, it's adversity, really, day one of training camp here.
It was. It's just a good lesson of how to overcome adversity because that having him get injured that first day, I mean, he's a big part of a football team, not only as a player but as a person. Great leader. His teammates love him. So when he went down, it was a pretty emotional scene. It was tough to see. It really was. But our players being who they are and how you have to be as a professional athlete, the next day at practice, they're ready to go, you know, bouncing up and down and getting ready to play. So, but yeah, it certainly was tough to see, probably more as a person, what Jason means to us. Football wise, like we always say, you know, we'll find a way to move on. We played without Jason last year, and some guys stepped up. Trevor Williams did a great job for us last year at corner. Desmond King played really well, so we'll move on.
You mentioned safeties. Derwin James, a first-round pick. You were on Bob Sanders, and it's physical freak is the category you put guys like that into. Are there any similarities you see? Obviously, Derwin's a bigger package.
Yeah, just stature-wise, Derwin's bigger. Bob was a pretty special player when we had him in Indianapolis, both in the run game and the pass game. People forget that he had some interceptions, too. He could cover well because he ran very well. But, you know, Derwin's his own player. Everyone tries to compare him to somebody, which we do in the scouting circles in our own room. But, you know, outside the room, you know, Derwin's his own player. Yeah. Still has a lot to learn, but he's a lot of qualities that fit that position in our defense, which requires a lot of responsibilities both in the run game and pass game. So he's just getting his feet wet. This will be his second day of work. He had a minor hamstring coming in. So he's got some work in front of him, but we're excited so far with what we see.
Can Joey Bosa, can he even improve? I mean, where is he at in his development? He's playing such an elite high level right now. Is there still more ahead of him?
If you ask him that question, he'll say he has a lot more to work on and develop, which is a great thing to hear because he loves to work. I mean, obviously he's physically gifted, has tremendous work ethic, and he's always working on his craft. When you see him in practice here, if there's a time in practice where he's not involved in a drill, he's on his own working. He's got a teammate working on hand use, footwork. So that's what you want to see from your top players, to never be satisfied with where you are. And we all have room to get better. And, you know, Joey's still a young player in this league.
Hey, thank you so much for your time, man.
Anytime. Thanks.
Right, good luck this season. I'm here with one of the top cornerbacks in National Football League, Casey Hayward. Casey, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
I came out here first couple days. Looked like you and Keenan got a lot of work in. How much you talk about iron on, sharpening iron. How helpful is that, just in that even specific matchup with you and Keenan?
It's pretty good. Every day we, you know, try to go out here and compete at a high level and try to win every rep. One-on-ones, he's been kicking my butt the last 2 days. Before that, man, he was like 50-50. But it's been very competitive. I've been in good position on a lot of the balls. Him and Phil just have this thing right now.
You had an unfortunate injury day one there with Jason going down. How do you overcome that as a group? I know you got tremendous depth there in the secondary, but how tough was that just day one to lose a brother out there in Jason Verrett?
You know what? It was just hard because we know how much work he put in to get to the position that he was coming off two ACLs. And to get hurt like that, it was bigger than football for us. That was because the way he worked to get to that point. So prayers out to him. I think he's going in surgery soon. But prayers out to him, and hopefully with a speedy recovery. But we do have a lot of depth. We got Trevor Williams, who started for us the last year and a half.
Year, yeah.
So we got to start it in Trevor. Mm-hmm. And we got a lot of guys in the secondary that played a lot of ball. So, you know, with Jason being such a good player, we still got depth at that position because we got a lot of guys that played a lot of ball.
Back in the secondary behind you there at safety is a lot of depth, including first-round draft pick here in Derwin James. What's your message and your advice for him coming through his first training camp?
Just try to learn the defense as well as you can, you know, because most of the time people hit this rookie wall and things like that. But I don't get that vibe from him. He's just a smart guy, competitive guy. And just to learn the defense. And when you learn that defense, your player just to start to pick up and everything and start to slow down for you. And I think that's what he's been doing a lot, just learning his defense and, you know, trying to pick Jaleel brain. He sit right next to Jaleel in practice. So to pick his brain and get as much knowledge as possible.
I'm going to let you run here. I couldn't let you leave without asking about my podcast partner here, Bucky Brooks, because I feel like this was kind of the Twitter beef of the offseason. Underrated matchup here with you and Bucky kind of going back and forth. So I'm going to give you the floor. You got a mic. You can say whatever you want to here to my partner and Bucky.
I don't got no beef with Bucky, but, you know, at the end of the day, system guy versus star guy, I just wanted to know what was the difference.
Yeah.
You know, I played in three different systems, and I've been pretty good in three different systems so far, and I think I'm a star player. I don't think you make back-to-back Pro Bowls or back-to-back All-Pros without being a really good player and a star player. But, you know, everybody got their own opinion. I value anybody's opinion. But sometimes when you're wrong in your opinions, you can come in and say, I was wrong.
You got to pull him in the principal's office then.
Exactly. I'm sorry all my people had to come get on you.
See, that was a nice – it was even an apology mixed in there for my buddy Bucky.
It's
hey, best
good.
Of luck this year, man. Stay healthy. Have a huge year.
All right, thank you very much.
That was funny. That was funny.
He was great.
He was great. I love going back and forth with players, and I am not one that shies away from engaging, particularly over Twitter. I think what was fascinating was he called the goons. He brought in Jalen Ramsey.
They did. Landon they came Collins. On top rope.
I saw Deshaun Watson weigh in a little bit.
I didn't see Deshaun jump in.
Oh, Deshaun
did
jumped
he really?
In. Everybody. Dang. Everybody came. It was a free-for-all. Look, my Twitter fingers were going crazy. I think the interesting thing when it comes to players, and all players kind of feel this way, the overwhelming majority of players in the National Football League are system players. They need to be in the right scheme to really enhance their talents. There are only a handful of transcendent guys that can play in any system. And Casey Hayward is right. Look, he's been a Pro Bowl player. He's played at a high level in multiple systems under multiple defensive coordinators and has success. I think the thing that goes to it from a personnel standpoint, a personnel man standpoint, is when you look at a player, do you believe you could drop him in any system and that guy have – elite success or Pro Bowl caliber success? I don't know. When I look at his game, he is an outstanding see ball, get ball defender, does a great job of getting his hands on the ball, and he is in a system now where he is able to clue the quarterback and do some things. He bails, he plays off. And Gus Bradley has said that he is the perfect prototypical field corner in that defense. I think he's in a great system. I think he's a terrific player. We'll see how it ends up.
That'd be fun to watch here. He was a great dude, though. He was
super
really
smart. Always respect smart.
Incredibly intelligent. So I'll get a chance to know him a little bit more this year doing all
for
these
sure.
doing all these Charger games. But speaking of beefs, this is not the only beef that existed here. That beef was created in the offseason. There's another beef that's been years in the making. There's no signs of it slowing down. And this is an example of that beef, Buck. It's the podcast beef. It's the Move the Sticks podcast. It's the Around the NFL podcast. And the other day out at Chargers camp, I was out there as well as one of the less tall members of the Around the NFL podcast. And this is some of the interaction that took place there.
Greg Rosenthal from Around the NFL is here with us as well.
And your second favorite podcast, by the way.
Second favorite podcast, indeed. We don't have to get into that for you just yet, Greg, but I know nobody separates winners and losers better than you, and I know you've got the early winners and losers from training camp. How about some winners? I want winners, Greg. What do you got?
Well, one winner is our podcast. It is better than DJ's podcast, but I'm going to start with...
Well, that's a lot of great information there from Greg, but where's Mark Sessler? I was told the star of the Around the NFL podcast was going to be here today, and I can't find Mark Sessler anywhere.
Wow, a winner, but we do have losers, Greg, because for every winner, there is a loser.
Well, there you go, Buck. I mean, they tell me that there's going to be a representative from that podcast, and it was going to be a big name, and
Rosie.
Mark Sessler was Greg Rosenthal was there.
Yeah.
Seriously? That's
surprised.
A big name? Really? Man. Is that what we're going with?
I guess.
All right. Whatever. At least it wasn't Hansus. They didn't send him. It could have been worse, I guess. Big takeaways, though, just from being out there and seeing that Chargers team specifically. Any takeaways or expectations for that team for the year?
Wide receiver core. I think their wide receiver core is terrific. I think our own Nate Burleson said they may have
He's the number one, is according to Nate.
Number one wide receiver core in all of football. I'm not quite ready to go on that limb, but I do think they can cause problems. Their size and the ability to kind of throw a bunch of different guys out there. Terrell Williams, you have Mike Williams, you have Keenan Allen, but then the gas.
Travis Benjamin's got some juice.
The juice, the speed. They can come at you a bunch of different ways. They lose Hunter Henry, but it may be a blessing in disguise. They may go more 10 personnel, one back, four receivers. Could be problems.
And actually, Derek Watt, they're getting the fullback involved a little bit more. You speak of John Gruden, old school football, having a fullback out there, one of the better ones in the NFL. So it'd be a fun team to watch here with the Chargers. I'll have an up-close vantage point there as we go through the season, so I'm sure I'll keep you abreast of what I see there. All right, Buck, that's going to do it for the show today. Remember, you can catch all of our video shows. It's Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, NFL.com/MTSLive. We've got all our videos, NFL.com/MTSVideo, YouTube.com/NFL. Tell the folks where they can find the audio podcast if they happen to just be watching this one today.
Well, I mean, they can download it. Podcast at Apple Podcasts or on your favorite podcast app is all right there for you.
And we appreciate all of you guys leaving. We got a lot of great reviews on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate you guys logging in there and doing us a solid there, rating the podcast and leave us a little review. That does help. That's going to do it for us today. We are in the middle of the preseason. Games have taken place. More games to come. We've got all your football needs covered right here on Move the Sticks. Thank you so much for watching the Move the Sticks podcast presented by Castle Edge.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.